Mahabharata, Chapter 54, Yudhisthira's Fear. Sanjaya finished his description of the first day's battle. Dhritarashtra smiled as he heard of Bhishma's incomparable prowess and the slaying of the two Pandava heroes. Perhaps destiny would favor his forces after all. It was hard to imagine anyone overcoming Bhishma in battle. Feeling a surge of hope, the king said, "Your words are pleasing, for they describe our victory. The old Kuru chief Bhishma is ever devoted to my interests and will never abandon his prowess. My heart feels no shame on remembering our transgressions against the Pandavas, but that itself is shameful." Dhritarashtra fell silent again for some moments. Sighing, he continued, "Even hearing of our success, I cannot condone the battle brought about by my foolish son, O Sanjaya. What good can war do for anyone? Apart from my wicked sons and their equally evil advisers, I do not think there were any who approved of this fight." The king's mind swung between hope for his sons and sorrow at the thought of the Kuru's inevitable death. Sometimes he was overcome by despair as he pondered on the Pandava's power and virtue. And then there was Krishna. Today's report was encouraging, but Arjuna still had to exhibit his prowess, as had Bhima and the other Pandava generals. Many would die before the outcome was settled. He did not doubt that. How could his son survive? Waving away the servants who were fanning him, Dhritarashtra shook his head and said, "Victory will doubtlessly attend the righteous, Sanjaya, but is our case so clearly wrong? Should not the throne have been mine? Does not Duryodhan have the foremost claim to sovereignty, even over Yudhisthira?" Sanjaya did not respond. It had long ago been established that Pandu was the rightful monarch. Dhritarashtra was born blind, and that disqualified him from ruling the kingdom. Pandu's sons were thus the rightful inheritors of at least half the kingdom, if not all. Sanjaya knew that Dhritarashtra cursed his blindness and considered it an unfortunate quirk of destiny that had denied him his rights. In Sanjaya's mind, it was clearly the Lord's arrangement. There were none who could match the virtue and kindness of the Pandavas. The earth could have no better rulers, especially if the alternative was Duryodhan and his brothers. Struggling with his inner conflict, Dhritarashtra went on dolefully, "But there can be no excuse for the cruelty my sons meted out to the Pandavas and their chaste wife. Soon we will see the fire of their anger blazing on the battlefield. O Sanjaya, thinking of their anger, incited by Duryodhan, I am restless both by day and by night." Seated at the feet of his master, Sanjaya spoke frankly but with affection. "You are the cause of the Kuru's present plight. Why do you blame only your son? Your present remorse is like the building of a dam after the water has escaped. Listen as I describe how events are unfolding at Kurukshetra. You will soon be consumed by a lonesome regret as this war takes its inevitable course." Dhritarashtra fell silent as Sanjaya again began to describe the events at Kurukshetra. After arriving back at camp at the end of the first day's fight, Yudhisthira called a council of war. He consulted with Krishna, who sat by his side, wearing golden armor and a jeweled helmet. "O Govinda, behold how the powerful Bhishma is consuming my troops, as fire consumes dry grass. How can we even look at him as he releases his celestial weapons? Seeing him stationed on the battlefield, my troops are flying away in all directions. Perhaps we may defeat Varuna or Vayu, or even the mighty Yamaraj in battle. But I do not think we can overpower Bhishma." Yudhisthira's voice was heavy with sorrow as he went on, "O Keshava, when Bhishma is my foe, I think it preferable to retire to the forest. It is wrong for me to sacrifice these Kshatriyas into the fire of his weapons simply for the sake of sovereignty. Look at my brothers. They have all been wounded for my sake. Not only that, but they have been deprived of both happiness and wealth because of the love they bear for me. How can I allow them to suffer further? I will therefore spend the rest of my days practicing asceticism." Krishna said nothing as Yudhisthira poured out his feelings. He knew the Pandava king had no intention of abandoning the fight. The first day had not gone his way, and naturally he was frustrated, especially in the face of a warrior like Bhishma. It was not going to be easy to win this war. That much was already clear. Yudhisthira continued, "It seems that Arjuna is content to be only a spectator in this battle. Bhishma alone remembers his kshatriya duties and fights with determination. Why, O Krishna, does your friend Arjuna look on with indifference as Bhishma annihilates our troops? Tell me, who can stop Bhishma? We must devise a plan to check him before he destroys the entire army. O Govinda, only by your grace will we regain our kingdom after killing our enemies." Yudhisthira sat down. His head hung. Krishna replied, "O best of the Bharata race, do not give way to grief. You were surrounded by great chariot warriors who are all dedicated heart and soul to your welfare. I am also engaged in doing you good. You have your brothers, as well as Drupada, Virata, Justadumna, Satyaki, Sikandi, and many others. All of them are illustrious fighters who will not waver in battle. Sikandi will surely slay Bhishma in due course. Do not despair." Yudhisthira was heartened by Krishna's assurance. Certainly he could never utter an untruth, and it was obvious that he wanted the battle to continue. Nor could it be checked regardless. It must go on. Yudhisthira was concerned that his outpouring of sorrow may have discouraged his troops. Looking at Justadumna, he said, "O hero, you have been appointed leader of my troops. Even as Kartikeya leads the celestials, lead our army to victory. Use your prowess to kill the Kurus. I will follow behind you, along with my brothers and all the other Kshatriyas." Justadumna replied, "O son of Prita, it is ordained that I will kill Drona. I will now fight with any Kuru who stands before me. Let all those proud kings try their best. I am not afraid of any of them." Everyone present cheered. Yudhisthira then discussed the arrangements for the next day's battle. His army would arrange itself in the crunch of Yuha, the formation shaped like a crow, which Brihaspati had devised. After arranging the warriors' positions, the Pandava army rested for the night, with the moon casting its glow over their thousands of tents. As the sun rose on the second day of battle, the Pandava forces arranged themselves in the crunch of formation. Seeing this formidable array, with its Atirathas and Maharathas stationed at key points, Duryodhan asked Bhishma to form a counter-array of his own troops. Bhishma formed his troops into another mighty vyuha. As countless conches and trumpets sounded, the two armies attacked. Bhishma headed the Kaurava attack personally. He immediately assailed the foremost Pandava fighters, led by Justadumna, Abhimanyu, Bhima, and Arjuna. Under Bhishma's attack, the Pandavas' vyuha wavered. Charioteers and horsemen fell in quick succession. Bhishma's gold-winged arrows whistled through the air with deadly accuracy. The Pandava troops were terrified as the old Kuru hero continuously showered them with his shafts. Seeing the carnage, Arjuna was infuriated. "Go, O Janardhan, to the place where the grandfather stands. It seems he will annihilate our entire army for Duryodhan's sake. Therefore I will kill him." "Be on your guard," Krishna cautioned. "I will now take you to Bhishma." As Krishna crossed the field, Arjuna sent arrows in all directions, killing the Kaurava forces in large numbers. The twang of his bow, the slap of the string on his leather fences, and the whistling of arrows leaving his bow made one continuous sound. An endless line of shafts emanated from his chariot in many directions as he whirled about. Bhishma saw him approach. The great chariot with its white horses, huge ape banner, and numerous other celestial flags was easy to recognize. Without delay, Bhishma sent 80 long shafts at Arjuna. At the same time, Duryodhan sent another 60, while Kripa fired 50, and Drona 25. Many other powerful warriors supporting Bhishma also trained their arrows on Arjuna. Although struck on all sides, Arjuna was unmoved. He sent his own arrows at his assailants, piercing each of them. Satyaki, Virata, Drishtadyumna, and Draupadi's sons came to support him as he targeted Bhishma. Each engaged with one or more Kuru heroes, leaving Bhishma unprotected. Unperturbed, Bhishma quickly sent another 80 arrows, which wounded Arjuna and sent him reeling in his chariot. The Kauravas shouted with joy, and this infuriated Arjuna. He quickly regained his stance and had Krishna drive his chariot toward the Kaurava heroes, attacking all of them with arrows fitted with heads shaped like calves' teeth. Suffering Arjuna's attack, the Kauravas resembled an ocean lashed by a tempest. Their armor was torn off and their bows repeatedly shattered. Arjuna routed them by the thousands and they fled in terror. Duryodhan quickly rode up to Bhishma, who had not followed through on his attack on Arjuna. He called out, "O sire, see how this mighty Pandava is cutting down our troops like a farmer cutting wheat. How can you allow this? Only for your sake has Karna laid aside his weapons. As a result, it seems Arjuna will destroy us all. Act quickly to protect us, O son of Ganga." Bhishma looked at the agitated prince. "Fie upon the Kshatriya's duty," he replied, turning his chariot toward Arjuna. He did not want to face the Pandavas in battle, but he knew it could not be avoided. As he went toward Arjuna, the Kauravas cheered and blew their conches. Duryodhan, Ashvatthama, and Dushasan went with him on his two sides and at his rear. The two Atirathas, Bhishma and Arjuna, exchanged arrow for arrow. Each fighter released first 10, then 100, then 1,000 shafts. Arjuna sent so many arrows at Bhishma that he seemed to be completely covered by a net. But the Kuru hero soon dispelled the arrows with his own and quickly counterattacked Arjuna. As they fought, both were pleased by the other's prowess. Neither could gain the advantage. Krishna was struck on the breast by 3 arrows, and blood flowed from his wounds. As he dexterously drove the horses, he appeared like a blossoming kinsuka tree with bright red flowers. Standing on the chariot, he made it advance and retreat with beautiful circling motions. So swift was its movement that Bhishma found it difficult to aim at Arjuna. He too wheeled rapidly about the field, confusing Arjuna's aim. The earth trembled under the chariot wheels and appeared ready to split open. Those who witnessed the fight were wonderstruck. They could not mark any difference between the two combatants, nor see any flaw in their fighting techniques. Most of the time, both remained invisible beneath a network of arrows. In the sky, the celestial said, "These two cannot be defeated by any foe, earthly or divine. Surely this battle will be without end." While Arjuna and Bhishma fought, the two armies continued cutting each other down. Drona and Drishtadyumna contended like two enraged lions. As guru and disciple battled, the contest was no less spectacular than that between Arjuna and Bhishma. Both pierced the other's armor, and both stood as immovable as the Himalayan mountains. Drishtadyumna, conscious of his destiny to kill Drona, constantly sought an opportunity to slay his opponent. But Drona repeatedly and fearlessly confounded his attacks. The martial preceptor displayed his unmatched ability as he fought Drupada's son. At one point, seeing his chance, Drishtadyumna hurled a long dart adorned with gold and Vaidurya gems. It flew like a streak of lightning toward Drona. The moment it was released, however, Drona shot 3 razor-headed arrows that cut it to pieces in mid-air. It fell to the earth like a shower of meteors. Infuriated, Drishtadyumna rained down arrows on Drona, but the Kuru warrior checked them all and at once cut apart Drishtadyumna's bow with a crescent-headed shaft. He then killed his 4 horses and smashed his chariot. Clutching a massive mace, Drishtadyumna leapt from the smashed chariot. Drona immediately struck the mace with a volley of arrows and shattered it into small pieces. Drishtadyumna took out his long sword and, raising his shield adorned with 100 gold moons, ran at Drona. Seeing him charging like a hungry lion running at an elephant, Drona checked him with a cluster of barbed shafts. Justadumna could not take another step, but was forced to ward off the arrows with his sword and shield. Bhima saw him struggling, and he pulled him up onto his own chariot, riding swiftly away from Drona. After Justadumna had mounted a fresh chariot and turned again to face his opponent, Bhima encountered the king of Kalinga, Ketumat, and his vast army. Ketumat was supported by another monarch named Shutayush, who was followed by thousands of Nishada fighters. The two armies surrounded Bhima. Finding himself hemmed in on all sides by elephants, chariots, and horsemen, Bhima laughed and began unleashing his arrows in all directions. The arrows fired by Bhima's mighty arms from his huge bow passed clean through the bodies of men and horses. But the Kalinga and Nishada forces were fearless. Other Pandava troops moved in to assist Bhima. The Matsyas, Chedis, and Karushas together attacked the army surrounding him. A terrible fight then took place. The clash of weapons and the screams of men and animals was deafening. Hacking and chopping, the soldiers made the field resemble a ghastly crematorium strewn with flesh and blood. They could hardly distinguish between friend and foe, and warriors slew others from their own side. Gradually, the Nishada troops, fighting with demonic fury, forced back the Chedis and Matsyas. Bhima was left alone on his chariot, still surrounded by thousands of fighters. Undaunted, the Pandava stood his ground. He covered the Kalingas with showers of arrows and sent up a great cry. Ketumat and his son, Sakradev, rushed upon Bhima, letting loose numerous shafts. Roaring, Bhima shook his bow and warded them off with ease. Sakradev fired a volley of shafts that killed Bhima's horses. Remaining on his chariot, Bhima fended off Sakradev's attack. He quickly took up an iron mace and hurled it at the prince. That mace sped through the air, as straight as an arrow. It caught Sakradev on the chest, killing him instantly, and throwing him out of his chariot onto the earth some distance away. Seeing his son killed, Ketumat rushed forward, backed by his troops. Bhima took a long sword, forged with the finest blue steel. Holding the sword as well as a massive shield made of bull hide, decorated with the golden stars and crescents, he leapt from his chariot. Hoping to kill Ketumat, he ran at him with his sword held high. Ketumat at once released a poisoned dart that sped toward Bhima. The Pandava whirled his sword and cut it as it flew. He shouted in the exultation of battle, and his shout filled his enemies with fear. Ketumat became completely enraged and hurled 14 more darts at Bhima, each with heads of sharpened stone. Bhima cut all of them into fragments with his sword. As he performed this wonderful feat, Ketumat's brother, Banumat, who was mounted upon a great elephant, rushed upon him with a lion-like roar. Unable to tolerate that cry, Bhima shouted even louder. Both yells terrified the troops, and their animals froze in fear where they stood. Bhima ran toward Banumat and leapt onto his elephant. With a powerful sword stroke, he cut Banumat into two halves, which fell on either side of his elephant. Bhima then swept his sword down and severed the elephant's trunk. As the beast fell like a mountain hit by a thunderbolt, Bhima jumped clear. He stood on the ground, roaring furiously. The Kauravas looked in horror upon Vayu's enraged son, no longer considering him human. Bhima began to whirl around like a firebrand, cleaving a path through the enemy with his bright, blood-soaked sword. Heads and limbs flew about as he slaughtered innumerable warriors and their animals. He moved around the field with the speed of a hawk. Anyone who came before him was instantly slain. He seemed to be Amaraj himself at the time of universal dissolution. The Kaurava troops were terrified. They ran about in all directions, screaming in fear. Bhima exhibited various motions. He whirled and wheeled, making side thrusts, leaping high, jumping forward then back. He moved about like a frenzied dancer. All the while his sword flashed, seeming to cover all sides at once. As he butchered them, the enemy soldiers shrieked. Hundreds of elephants fell with fearful cries. Bhima hacked indiscriminately into the forces of the Kalingas and Nishadas. The ground about him was strewn with broken armor and weapons. Lances, bows, mallets, maces, darts, and axes, all cut asunder, lay everywhere. Beautiful golden housings from the backs of elephants adorned the field, along with shining bells and other colorful decorations. The heads and arms of warriors lay about in large numbers, their jeweled ornaments glinting from the ground. Bhima could not be checked. The earth around him became a thick mire of flesh and blood. Wanting to save his soldiers, Shrutayush came before him on his chariot and shouted out a challenge. He immediately shot 100 fierce arrows at the rampaging Pandava. Pierced by the arrows like an elephant pierced by a hook, Bhima's anger knew no bounds. His charioteer, Vishok, came to him with a fresh chariot, and Bhima leapt aboard. Crying, "Wait, wait!" he rushed at Shrutayush, who continuously fired sharp arrows at him. Bhima took up his bow and sent 9 iron arrows at the Kalinga king. 3 shafts hit Shrutayush with the force of a thunderbolt and threw him lifeless to the ground. Turning at once to Ketumat, Bhima similarly slew him with a number of long shafts that left his bow with the sound of thunderclaps. The remaining Kalingas surrounded Bhima in the hundreds of thousands. All of them rained their weapons on him at once. Bhima repelled their weapons and then took up his mace. He jumped down from the chariot and resumed fighting on foot. Wielding his huge mace, he sent the Kalingas to the region of death. So rapid were his movements that no one could touch him. He crushed his enemies, and they broke and ran. Seeing his foes fleeing, Bhima took out his conch and blew repeated blasts on it. The incredible sound reverberated around the field and struck the Kauravas with panic. They trembled and seemed to lose consciousness. As Bhima continued to move among the remaining Kalingas, they appeared to be in a trance. The whole army shook like a lake agitated by an alligator. Bhima wiped out the entire army. With great difficulty, their commander rallied the few that were left and brought them back to the fight. Bhima remounted his chariot and stood ready as more troops came to assist the Kalingas. Dristadyumna then came up to Bhima, followed by a large number of Pandava warriors. As the sun approached the western horizon, the fight raged on. When twilight fell, the two armies disengaged and withdrew from the field. As jackals and vultures again gathered around the grisly scenes of carnage, the soldiers made their way back to the encampments